Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions along the way, questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to a world, let's face it, don't know God for sure, and definitely is in deep need of more love, don't you think? I mean, take a look around. There's a lot of bad news bears out there. How can I take the good news of Jesus Christ as presented in His Gospels and apply it into my daily living so that I can become light in the darkness? I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. That's what this show's all about. What do you say? We quiet our minds, put ourselves in the presence of God. You know, God wants to speak to you. God wants to lead you. He does this in many, many ways, but one very powerful way is His Word. God's got a message for you today, my friend. Are you ready to hear it? We're going to school. Are you ready to be the student? We're hearing from the Gospel of Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of His disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. Some of the Pharisees and the scribes questioned Him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" He responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandment, but cling to human tradition.'" He summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand, nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person. But the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. And what a gospel it is, my friends. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk about this gospel and a few other things along the way. Grab the kids. It's going to be good here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. So today we find ourselves in the seventh chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And I love Mark, regarded by most serious scripture scholars as the first gospel written. It's the shortest of the four by far. And its primary source is thought to be Peter. Like I said, we're in the seventh chapter of Mark, which, by the way, is a holy number. And by now, the Jesus mission has kicked into high gear. Now, if you've been with us over the last several weeks, we have seen Jesus rejected by His hometown. even though he came back with evidence, even though he came back with logos, they looked at him and said, "We know your mother. In fact, we recall suspicious circumstances surrounding your birth. And now you're the Son of God. Who do you think you are?" They were convinced of what they thought they knew. And Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. Next up comes the sending out of the 12. Talk about on-the-job training. They were sent out with no money and told to preach about something that they did not understand, if you can imagine that. But they went off preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins and found great success. Next came the feeding of the 5,000, which changed everything. And by the end of chapter 6, all kinds of people are bringing their sick, they're carrying them in on mats to wherever they hear that Jesus is. And anyone who touches Jesus is healed. When the Pharisees with some scribes had come from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed hands. For the Pharisees, in fact, all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. So, okay, there's a lot here. Let's start with the Pharisees and the scribes who had come from Jerusalem. You know, that from Jerusalem, that's a small detail, but that's a distinction worth noting because it means that these guys are the big dogs coming off the porch of the temple. Because hear me when I say, it's one thing to be a Pharisee or a local rabbi, but it's quite another to be a Pharisee or a scribe from Jerusalem. This would be like having cardinals from Vatican City come to visit me here in Nitro. So this is a big deal. And they gather around Jesus. Now, scripture is silent as to the details, but they obviously had an agenda. Probably had more than a few words along the way. Of course, they had come to investigate, but there was something else going on just under the surface here, something that doesn't meet the eye, something more contrived. Of course, they've heard all about the miracles, but they don't like him. They don't like him because, well, he doesn't dress like them. He doesn't talk like them. He has zero rabbinical training. He's the son of a carpenter. And so while he's doing all these amazing things, and there's great excitement in the air as he's curing disease and feeding the 5,000 people. So there's just a whole lot of joy. These guys are pulling on their chins and they got narrow eyes. They don't like Jesus. They don't like him. And they're looking to discredit him. I mean, that is their mission. And it's interesting when you notice who they do not attack, because they don't walk up on Jesus and say, "Hey, why don't you follow the traditions of the elders?" No. They go to his disciples. "Why don't your disciples follow the tradition of the elders?" Because, of course, by attacking his disciples, they're very much attacking Jesus. And what's their issue? Hand washing. Which opens the door to another issue, which is what is considered clean versus what is considered unclean. And that issue finds its roots in Old Testament law. And let me tell you, my friends, they got a whole lot to say about this issue of what's clean and what's unclean. Levitical law has different degrees of impurity that lead to different levels of contamination. And sitting on the very top of the impurity triangle is what is referred to as first degree impurity. Now, this happens when somebody, you know, accidentally comes in contact with blood or maybe touches a dead body. I mean, that will make you ritually unclean. Now, I say all of that to say this. The idea of eating food without first washing your hands, that would not rise to the level of impurity that would make you ritually unclean. And to be quite honest, it hardly even moves the needle of the impurity Richter scale. This is not a stamp of Judaism, but an extreme view. In other words, these Pharisees, these scribes, are nitpicking. And like I said, there's a whole lot more going on here. I mean, we need to understand that this is not an issue of hygiene, okay? So if there are any children out there that are watching this show today, this does not mean when your mother tells you to wash your hands before dinner, you can say, Jesus says I don't have to, okay? That's not what's going on. This is an entirely different issue that's going on. They're coming after Jesus, and they choose to use this issue of hand washing. Why? Because it's in the law. Now, let's talk about the law, because that's where this all comes from. What does the law do? Well, the law forms group boundaries. The law defines who we are and what we do. It defines who's in and who's out. The law draws lines between those who are loyal to the group and those who are not. And by bringing up this failure to follow the customary Levitical purity laws, they're raising the question as to whether the followers of Jesus are loyal to Judaism. So you see how that works? This was all about what does it mean to be Jewish? Who's in? Who's out? And they're very much suggesting that Jesus and his crew are out because they're not following the law. Miracles are not. You're out. Now, we might look at this 2,000 years later and say, well, how silly. But my friends, some version of this very same thing plays out in every church in this country, and I imagine every church in the world. I mean, let's just begin with seating. For some reason, when somebody comes into a church for the first time and sits in a particular pew, that's where they're going to sit until Gabriel sounds the trumpet. I mean, isn't that true? I don't know why, but am I telling lies? No, that's just the way it is. We've got this big cathedral downtown, and I heard this story. It's a man, it's a lawyer. In the middle of the day, and he stopped by the church to say a few prayers. He was the only one in the whole church, big church, cathedral. And he's sitting near the back. He's doing his prayers. And all of a sudden, this woman comes and taps him on the shoulder. He looks up, and it's this woman that is telling him that he is in her seat. That's a true story. Welcome to Christianity. This is what we do. We all have norms. We have traditions, and many of them are unspoken. Every congregation, large or small, has rules, traditions. Every group has expectation of human behavior. And often these rules and traditions are not written until somebody breaks them. For example, I seriously doubt any congregation ever sat down and actually wrote the rule that you can't wear a bathing suit in church. I mean, I would imagine that you just kind of, assume that, you know, everybody would just kind of understand that until somebody wears a bathing suit to church. Now, understand, I am not saying that traditions are bad. Traditions are wonderful. Traditions identify us as groups. And Jesus is not saying that traditions and the law are bad. Jesus did not come to get rid of the law. He did not come to ban traditions. He came to point out the fact that traditions don't save. The law doesn't save. And traditions should never exclude people. Tradition should never bar anyone access to the word, because that is not of God. Jesus didn't have a problem with tradition and the law. What he had a problem with was legalism. A problem, dare I say, that continues to persist in many of our churches today. Legalism. And there's a whole lot of legalisms, whole kinds of different various shades of legalism. Today I want to talk about three kinds. Three kinds of legalism, the first, without question, being the most devastating. We have come to believe that we can become justified before the Lord. We can become clean before our God by doing the works of the law and following the traditions of the elders. That is not true. This is a problem, okay? Because it goes against the very core of Scripture that clearly reveals that we are only justified by faith and faith alone. We do not have the power to save ourselves. There is no such thing as good enough. There is only the righteousness of Jesus that gives us the opportunity to be justified before the Father. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back, and we will continue to talk about this amazing gospel here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, we were talking all about legalism. Of course, there's many kinds. But today we're talking about three kinds of legalism. The first is I am justified, and I can stand in front of the Lord righteous and clean through my adherence to the law and the tradition of the elders. And that is, of course, not true, because it's not about you and it never was. Remember the rich young ruler. He had it all. He was rich, he was young, he was a ruler, which meant he had some position in the church. Maybe he was a deacon. Maybe he was a member of the Knights of Columbus. Who knows? But he was one of the good guys. And he came running up on Jesus and said, "What must I do to earn the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus looks at him and says, "Well, you know the law." And of course, "Oh, yeah, I do. I follow it perfectly." Jesus then looks at him with love and says, "Why don't you get rid of all your stuff and follow me?" And he went away sad. Why? Because he had a lot of stuff and he loved his stuff, and that stuff, unfortunately, kept him out of heaven. My friends, we cannot justify ourselves through the law, period. Why? Because the law does not have the power to save. Now, the second form of legalism that I want to talk about today is when we have traditions of man that bind people. Because this is not of God. God does not bind. God is love. Love is truth. And the truth will set you free. God does not bind. This type of legalism coerces things that God does not command. I mean, consider hand washing. That's not in the scriptures. That was in the Jewish Mishnah, which was the book of rules and regulations that explained and expanded the traditions of the elders. They had an entire volume of nothing but how to wash your hands properly. Like I said, this is not of Scripture. And I know it's real easy for us to sit back 2,000 years later, look back, well, what are these people thinking? But let me tell you, my friends, this kind of thing persists to this day in churches throughout our world. I mean, we might not have the traditions of the elders per se, but we definitely do have the way it's always been done. I mean, if I had a dime for every time I heard, "Well, Father, you know, that's just the way we've always done it," I would be a wealthy man, because this is human nature. And you know, another thing about human nature is to assume that the way we've always done it is the only way we can do it, even when evidence suggests otherwise. Why? Because, Father, that's the way we've always done. Period. So, yeah, we might not have a formal Mishnah to guide us in regards to the tradition of the elders, but we definitely got the old guard. That's the way we've always done it. This holds as true today as it did 2,000 years ago. If you don't act like us, if you don't believe like us, if you don't follow our tradition, well, guess what? You ain't us. And the polite word for this is denominationalism. Jesus responded, "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written? These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far away from me. In vain do they worship, teaching as doctrines human precepts. You disregard God's commandments, but you cling to human traditions." That's Isaiah 29. "These people come near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me." Wow. "Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites?" You know that word hypocrite, it's an interesting word. It's defined as the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. And this word can be traced to theater, applied to a player or an actor or like a pretender. So what Jesus is suggesting is that the Pharisees are pretenders. They pretend to honor God, when in reality, they don't. So the first form of legalism is I'm justified by the law. The second form is I'm bound by the law. But there's a third form of legalism known as loopholism. And that's when you twist the law into something unrecognizable. Entire legal careers have been made in court doing exactly this, legal loopholism. But in regards to faith, legal loopholism twists the word of God. Now, remember when Satan tried that in the desert? Throw yourself down from this parapet and the angels will catch you. Jesus responded, "It's also written, do not tempt God." Because my friends, Scripture always defines Scripture. It never contradicts itself. And that's why they couldn't defeat Jesus, because he had logos. He had the truth. And that's the thing about truth. You can twist it all you want, but in the end, you will never defeat truth. Jesus says, "Hear me all and understand. Nothing that enters one from the outside can defile a person, but the things that come from within, they defile." From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All of these evils come from within, and they defile. So this is what makes you unclean. Regardless of how righteous you might be acting, regardless of what you're doing on the outside, it's all about what is within, what is in your heart. And may I suggest, my friends, if folly made the list, none of us are clean. I mean, think about it. I mean, let's just get back to that word hypocrite. Professing a belief that one's own behavior does not conform. Okay, what are we professing? We're professing Jesus. So anything short of divine behavior makes us hypocrites. What does that mean? We're all unclean. None of us can stand clean and righteous before a just God, regardless of what we might think we do in regards to the law and the tradition of the elders. So here's my question. How do we get clean? How does that happen? Well, for something to be clean, something else has to become dirty, right? I mean, if you're washing a pot or a pan with a dish rag, the dish rag has to absorb the filth of the pot or the pan. And once that dish rag is dirty, it can't clean anything else, because it certainly can't clean itself. My friends, hear me when I say, we are that dish rag. No matter what we do in regards to the law or the tradition, we can't clean ourselves. So again, how can we become clean? Well, welcome to the cross. Because it is only from the blood that flows from that cross that the filth of your dirty dish rag is absorbed and made clean. It is only Jesus who has the ability to wash you white as snow. The law cannot save. Like I said, don't get me wrong, Jesus is not negating the law, nor is he dismissing traditions. He's merely pointing out, if you're looking for a stairway to heaven with the law, you might be on the highway to hell, period. Because the only thing that's going to make you clean is when you accept and stand in front of the blood of Jesus Christ. Confess your sins that have made you filthy and accept what he is offering you today. Receive the Holy Spirit. It will wash you. It will purify your stony hearts. It will mold you into the likeness of Jesus himself. But it all begins with you. Oh, wash me, O Lord. Oh, make me clean. This was the anguished prayer of King David. Wash yourselves was the message coming from the banks of the Jordan River with John the Baptist. The kingdom of God is upon you right here and right now. Repent and believe in the gospel. Unless I wash you, you will have no part of me, said a towel-draped Jesus to Peter. My friends, the only thing that can wash away our sins is the blood of Jesus Christ. Why not let his blood wash you today? You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living on Father Chapin. As the great Mother Teresa once said, just a little pencil and the hand of a writing God sending a love letter to this world. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Till then, I hope you let God live in your life and I bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.